Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and today we're going to be talking about overcoming diet culture through a biblical lens. This is super important. I've been in the fitness industry for more than 11 years. Oh my goodness, I think it's going on almost 12 years, which is pretty insane, I feel like. But this is a topic that I'm passionate about because I actually had to walk through this process of getting out of the diet culture because I didn't know that I was in it. I didn't know the lies I was believing about food. I didn't recognize how deep into the hole I was about food being good and bad and food fear. All this fear I had around eating certain foods and just so many unhealthy thoughts around my body, but also around food. And today that's what we're going to be talking about because one, it's the new year. And I know that you probably have goals. You probably want to steward your body better or well this year, especially with food and moving. But also there's this, we have to get to the spiritual side of things, right? So today we're going to be talking about that. And I love having my friend Chelsea Blackbird with us. I love that she calls herself the Christian nutritionist, but she's a nutritional therapy practitioner who works with Christian women to optimize metabolic flexibility and food peace. So, I mean, hello, she's perfect to do this interview with. And again, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to win a copy of my book this week. Head to the show notes, sign up to get my free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings. All you have to do is enter your email. You're going to get a free guide to walk you through how to live by faith and not by what you feel. And you're going to be entered this week to win a signed copy of my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, and get a sticker pack with 5 stickers that have things like healed people, heal people. My feelings are safe with God. It's truly one of my favorite things I got to do with this launch of the book. So before we get to the interview, make sure you hit follow right here on the podcast so you don't miss any episodes in this season. And make sure you sign up to get your free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the interview with Chelsea. Chelsea, I could not think of a better person to come on here. We've been in connection for a little while now, almost, I swear, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And I could not think of a better person to talk, though, about overcoming diet culture through a biblical lens. And so I have come out of the diet culture, you know, and there's a lot of narratives that I didn't know I was believing or why I was believing them. And they were leading me actually further into obsession, into despair, into body dysmorphia. And maybe I don't even know if a lot of us realize when we're in it, right? So why don't you take us to kind of the beginning, maybe where somebody would start to view, go into diet culture. Maybe it's control. Maybe it's, you know, fear of something, fear of gaining weight. I love to talk about the roots in the season of overcoming because it always starts with something, right? So why don't you take us to this foundation of why do we enter into this?
Well, I think that a lot of us, yeah, are motivated by weight, right? We're trying to be, you know, be a healthy weight. We are very entranced by worldly solutions. I call it shiny diet syndrome. You know, there's always kind of a new diet on the horizon and people put their hope in these labels of diets, right? Or maybe a product, you know, a lot of diets are product driven as well. And we put our hope in that. And if we can't meet the kind of the outline or what that diet is calling us to do, or we're not getting results, then we feel failure, you know, and we internalize that. And it just creates a really horrible cycle of yo-yo dieting, of just a little bit of hopelessness, you know, and a lot of throwing in the towel. And that it's just really, people can't see it when they're in it, you know, when it's people kind of diet hopping from one thing to the other. And so what I like to help bring people back to is looking at the way that we eat, the way that we care for our bodies through a biblical lens. You know, we look at the Bible as our guide for everything and, you know, how we want to live our lives, but a lot of us don't think about it as part of our health guide. And I really believe that God has shown us everything that we need to do right there in the Bible. And a lot of it right there in Genesis is really kind of the insight, because when we think of our bodies, we think of God as the creator of our bodies. We are his creation. And who knows better than the creator of our bodies what our bodies need to be healthy. And so that's what I like to bring back people to, is just using the Bible and biblical lens as our compass when we are looking to take care of ourselves.
I think that we don't go into diet culture thinking, or even to a diet, or we're thinking, I'm going to start a new way of eating and this is going to be great. I actually think we start with good intentions for the first time. But then what happens is that, I mean, even for me, was I realized that each kind of, I hate calling it a diet, but way of living, whether it's keto, low fat, high fat, whatever, like no carbs, all the carbs, whatever that is that each one always builds on the next, or you start to take it into the next, meaning, okay, this diet said, this way of eating said no dairy, no grains, no this. And so without further ado, the next thing that you start, you take those old ways of living to bring them into your new way. So not only are you now obeying, so to speak, you know, the no dairy, no grains, now you're like, there's going to be no gluten and there's going to be no fruit because that has sugar. And so how do we kind of get out of this cycle and this loop of one compounding diet culture, but how do we get back to those good intentions of really just wanting to glorify the goodness and the kindness of really how God created our bodies?
Yeah. I think first of all, we kind of need to shift our perspective about why are we keeping our body healthy? What is our goal here? And I think, you know, if we can shift our perspective and just really kind of meditate on the fact that our bodies are vessels of the Holy Spirit, we are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And that when we feel well, we serve well, we just show up so much more vibrantly to everything God has for us and everything that he needs us to do. And when you look at it that way, I think that's different than, being motivated by, a size of jeans or the reunion coming up or whatever it is, shifting that perspective, not basing what you're going to do on a label, like, I'm going to be keto, I'm going to be vegan. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be, and really like, what does your body need? Because we're all at different stages of what our body needs. I mean, you can call yourself a vegan or you can say you're keto all day long, but that may not be jiving with what your body needs. And so it's so individual. You really have to just figure out, it's a journey of self-discovery, and it can shift and it can change. And just, you've got to know what is working for you and what feels good in your body. But I think the place that we can always start is, well, in Genesis, and just looking at what God has provided. We know that he gave us plant foods, Genesis 1:29. We know he gave us animal foods, Genesis 9:3. I believe that is a good foundation for everybody. And maybe, there might be a different mix of, ratio of plant to animal. Maybe it's more plant and less animal. Maybe it's more animal and less plant. It really depends on your body and your gut microbiome and that kind of thing. But I think that is always a good place for everyone to start and then tweak from there. I mean, that's real food, the way God made it. That is the food God put in nature. And that's always going to be the best thing for our bodies. And so I think if we can go into it with that and just start there and then play from there, so that's kind of one piece of it. But then the other piece is getting out of this idea that it is a diet. We're going to eat. That's what I remind people. Guess what? We're going to eat every single day for the rest of our lives. Every day, and so you really have to find something that really does work for you, for your body, and just for your mental stamina, your health, your sustainability. Like, don't go into it saying, I am never going to have a piece of pie again. And then, hello, we've got, you know, holidays or, you know, a vacation or a birthday party, or you want to, you know, go to happy hour with your girlfriends. And then what do? You know, like if you can't sustain something long-term, you're going to hit that wall and you're going to feel, failure because you didn't live up to, you know, the keto, whatever guidelines, because you ate a cookie or you had a glass of wine or whatever it is. So you've got to find something that works that is sustainable. And I think those are two really key things, which sound kind of opposite because I'm like talking about real food and then I'm talking about cookies and wine. But that's the thing. I always tell people your body can handle some of these less than great things some of the time, as long as your foundation is real food most of the time and you're really working to keep your body healthy. But this is also life, and we have to find a way and strike that balance that works for us, that we enjoy, you know, we can enjoy life. I mean, food is a gift and our bodies are a gift and we need to treat them as such.
Mm-hmm. I am so with you on the labels. I think if you have to do low carb, or if you have to do no dairy, or if grains don't feel good to you, I don't think it needs a label. I think it's just the way that you eat. You know, it's just, hey, this is the way that I'm eating. But when we label it, I feel like that's when the diet culture really comes in and transforms our mind, versus simply us saying, this is just the way I'm eating right now. And it gives you that flexibility to shift. Maybe tomorrow you have a little bit of grains, but it's not these absolutes. And you are kind of talking in the absolutes too of, well, I'm never going to have a cookie again. I'm never going to have pie. And then what happens when we tell ourselves that we're never going to do something? We actually want more of it. Versus just allowing yourself to have the cookie 2 days, 3 days in a row, even to show yourself that there is a sense of control. Like, I know when it comes to intuitive eating, there's times where people have to eat the same thing, like eating a cookie every day, so that they can understand that there's still going to be a cookie there, or, you know, like, you don't have to overindulge in it. But I would love to talk about even moving into how this kind of diet culture through biblical lens, how to actually begin to get out of this, maybe some common narratives that people say to themselves. I know we talked a little bit about absolutes, but what can people begin to recognize, or maybe signs that they are in a diet culture mentality, so that we can begin to move through that?
Right. Well, I think it's going back to that, you know, how you're feeling when you're catching yourself. I always say there's, you know, you've got to take some of these thoughts captive. You know, if you find yourself saying things like, I'll start over when, I'll start over after, I might as well eat all this now, cause I'm never going to have it again. Like all of these kind of thoughts that go through our head, you know, you're in that diet wheel, you know? And again, I think we have to just go back to this biblical way of eating. You know, this is all kind of reminding of, I read a blog post once called Diet Denomination, and it's a lot, you know, with these labels, it's kind of like we can all be different denominations, you know, as a Christian, right? And a lot of times we'll want to like defend these different labels of who we are, but really at the root of who we all are is we're believers. We love Jesus. We are trying to be more like Jesus, to spread his love in the world, to love our neighbor. I mean, that's at the core of all of us. And at the core of all of us and what our body needs are the same things. Like, you know, the needs of our body don't ever change. It needs water. It needs plant foods. It needs good protein from animal foods. It needs sunshine. It needs rest. It needs movement. It needs fellowship. You know, those needs are never going to change. And when we can look to meeting the needs of our body in that way, instead of looking at something as a diet, I think that really shifts how you approach your health and your food. And so I truly think that's the best way to go into it. But you know, you do have to catch yourself. And when you're feeling that those thoughts, and you're feeling that yo-yo diet cycle, if you're starting things over, if you're putting your hope in a lot of other things like a diet label, you know? I mean, I know I've done that in the past and this is horrible. I mean, in my past, I can remember thinking, okay, I'm going to start over this, you know, XYZ, whatever diet it is. And so in the meantime, I'm going to eat all the things I'm never going to eat again. And then I'm never going to do it again. And then of course you start the new diet and then you're like, like, I don't want this. This is not sustainable. Or you know, you feel deprived or a holiday comes up or a birthday, like I said, and then you feel failure. And then you were just stuck in that cycle and then you do it again. Okay. I'm going to start this XYZ, but I don't start for about a week or I don't start till Monday. So I'm going to get it all in. I get it all out of my system, you know, and it's just that vicious cycle that drags us down. And it's really, not keeping our word to ourselves. And I think that we feel that very deeply, even though we may not recognize it. And it hurts, you know, it hurts us inside to know that we are not keeping our word to ourselves and we don't know how to break out of that. But always when you don't know what to do, where do we go? We look to the Lord. We look to His word. What does His word tell us to do? You know, care for our bodies like a holy temple, you know, because that is what they are. God needs us healthy to do His kingdom work here on earth. And that is a very big deal. Having the Holy Spirit inside of you is a very big deal. And He wants you to wake up and be a blessing machine, you know, get up and be able to live this gift of life and to bless others in your path. And it's really hard to do that when you're down on yourself mentally or you physically just don't feel like doing that because you have not honored your body with what it needs. And so I hope that answers your question or at least gives some insight to it, but that's the way that I look at it. And it wasn't until I looked at it that way that I could pull myself out of these diet labels that I felt like, you know, the diet du jour of the day that must be the answer, but it may not necessarily be the answer for you. So it's really just learning about yourself and what you need. And that may not be the same thing as your neighbor.
I love that we're having this conversation really at the beginning of the year. It's a new year. And I think many of us, we want to have healthy goals. We want to set out and do something different with our bodies this year. And really, I think the goal of even this episode is, like I say here all the time, challenging the way you think to change the way you live. And Yes. That is really, how can we change the way we eat? Meaning the viewpoint. And you made a great point of the external versus internal earlier, where oftentimes we become so motivated by the gene size, how many workouts I completed, did I, you know, do my meal plan 100% this week? And we're kind of looking at these external gratifications, but really we have to begin to actually first change the way we view food, change the way we view our body, because those are the things that are going to last and actually keep us motivated longer, you know. And I think you gave a great example of the basic needs of the body and the basic needs of the church when we really boil it down to that we are called to be disciples and to go out and to disciple others and to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And we get to have this charge, and at the core of who we are, that is the truth. You know, all of us have the ministry of reconciliation. Could you name just some common things that diet culture might make us feel? I know you've mentioned like a failure or that we can't keep the word to ourselves, but I'd love for you just to maybe list a couple of things, because maybe some women out there will be like, oh yeah, okay, like that resonated with me, that come up for you when you think of kind of being in the diet culture and how that can make somebody feel.
Oh yeah. I mean, shame that comes blazing right in. Just that shame, the failure, those are two that come up a lot, you know. But part of what I really want people to recognize is that when you're in your head more about your food, your weight, your aches and pains, your, you know, those things are taking up a lot of real estate of your brain that really would be so much better served by thinking about your blessings, thinking about God, thinking about all that you want to be and do in this world. And I think that's one way to kind of catch yourself and know yourself if that is, if a lot of the big portion of your day, if a big portion of your mind is spent thinking about that, or you're looking at, I know in the past, you know, I've looked at other women's plates. I'm like, oh, she's so good. You know, compared to like, I'm so bad. Whatever, you know, what's on my plate compared to what's on her plate, you know? And I'm like, mind your own plate, you know, like instead of mind your own business, mind your own plate. Cause you know, maybe, you know, today might be the day I'm having all the cookies and ice cream, and maybe she's having her salad, and that's okay. We're on different days. Maybe tonight I'm going to have, you know, a steak and a baked potato and a salad, and you know, that's real food. So just, we can't comparison, you know, that's a big one. And so anything that has to do with food and eating, if that instinctive, if you have that instinctive reflexive negative feeling in any way, however that manifests in any way, that's an alarm bell for you to recognize something's off here. And how do I need to shift my thinking around this to better my approach, to better my thought pattern around it? Cause I love what you said. I mean, you know, our thoughts, our mindset is what drives everything that we do. And so we really want to protect those thoughts running through our mind. And so I think those are just some ways to be thinking about it and considering it.
Talking about real estate is so huge, because we do have to think about what's renting, you know, like what's going on, like what are we thinking about the most? Because our life will follow our most dominant thought. And we can't deny that, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's inside and it comes outside. And so therefore, if out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, that means that also out of the abundance of our heart, our feet move, you know, and we start to do things that go along with what we're thinking about, right? We're going to move in that direction of diet culture, or, you know, trying to eat only 1200 calories a day or whatever that is, because we've already had it in our heart and meditated on it. So I would love for you to kind of take us through and close us out with just some really practical ways for us to, one, maybe get out of diet culture or to heal from that, two, to really view this eating through a biblical lens. So what kind of ways do you help your clients kind of move through that and get through that?
Mm-hmm. We always start with our, you know, our body, looking at it as the holy temple, and eating to feel well. And you know what that is for you. If you eat a bunch of quinoa, cause you know, you heard that's a really good healthy food for you, and, or chia seeds or whatever, and it makes you feel so, I'm just using this as an example because it makes me feel so bloated. It bloats me right up, right? So I'm like, oh, you know, and you'll keep trying. It's like, this is a healthy food. It's supposed to make me feel good. But if it bloats you up, that's not working for you, you know? And when I feel like that, I do not show up as my best self in the world. I'm like, oh, I feel yucky. I feel big in my clip. Like, you know, it affects me the way that I feel. And so I know that doesn't work for me. And so I don't care if somebody tells me chia seeds and quinoa are great for me. If it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for me. Now that might work for you, and that is fantastic. And that's if you feel amazing on that, that's exactly what you should do. If you feel amazing on yogurt, eat yogurt. If you feel, you know, amazing eating chicken every day on everything, great. You know, if that makes you feel good, I know my body feels great when I'm eating protein, getting enough protein in my, I just really do well with that, but some people may not, you know? And so you just have to figure that, how that feels for you and how you're going to show up. So that's when, you know, one thing is just always monitoring how your body is feeling in response to food. I don't think enough people make that connection, you know, that the way that you're feeling in your body is related to what you just ate. It's not random, it's connected. And so that's one thing. But always starting with that foundation, I said, you know, I do think the foundation of plant and animal foods, and you might have to tweak those ratios to figure out what works for you, but starting with real food, that's what we always start with when I'm working with clients. Let's start with real food, plants, you know, vegetables, fruits, and protein sources. And then we kind of take it in stages of layering in. Okay, let's try some grains and legumes. That work for you? Do you even want that? Yes. Great. Keep it in. No. let's not worry about it then. And then we bring in some, we kind of layer in the next level of what I call like heck yeah foods, like these things that we like cookies or chips or whatever. We can't have those all the time, but we can bring them in amounts and learn how to handle those sustainably, along with our real food. And so that's kind of the approach that I take with my clients, is we do it in a real kind of systematic way so that we can really, you know, number one, figure out the foods that are worth it. Like, why are you eating the quinoa if it doesn't feel good and you don't even like it? You know, forget that. Let's do something else. And how it feels in your body. So those are two big things I would definitely go by. But also, you know, health is a whole package. It's not just about food. It is about sleep. It is about rest in the Lord. It is about prayer. It is about connecting with, you know, friends and family. It is about soaking up some sunshine in your skin. It is about drinking enough pure water. It is just all of these things, you know, that we need. I think when we just kind of break it down in those lovely pieces, it's just, we learn to kind of crave that, those things that we need, and really honoring our bodies, just being a fierce protector of our bodies. You know, nobody's going to protect it as much as you will for yourself. So if you need to tell everybody you're going to sleep and you're going to miss the rest of the TV show, well, do it, you know, go for it. If you, you need to take that time and have somebody, you know, take care of your kids or do something so you can go on a walk, do it. You know, you have to be a fierce protector of your time, make time to do that for yourself. But those are kind of the checklist things that I really have my clients go through and make sure that we're trying to apply. And it's not a diet, you know, it is, mm-hmm. it is just the package of all these lovely inputs that our body needs. And I love that approach so much more. And those are all found in Genesis, by the way, which is, I call it the Genesis prescription, is the water, the sun, the fellowship, the plant foods, the animal foods, the rest, the movement. So I think it's a good way to look at it.
All of this is, it sounds so simple, but we make it so hard.
I know. Why do we do that?
I don't know why we do this. Because, you know, for me especially, I had to stop following people that shared their meal plans. I had to be somebody that stopped sharing what I ate, because I began to learn how important it was for somebody to figure that out themselves. Yeah, yes. Of course, we can share some of our favorite proteins or whatever. I don't mind sharing that stuff. But I don't like doing what I eat in a day. I just don't buy that anymore, because it's just not, you're going to think I'm super boring, by the way, because I eat a lot of the same things every day.
It's okay.
And
that works for you. I think that's awesome.
But you know, but what you're saying is just, hey, it's really just testing food. Did you feel bloated? Did you get really tired after you eat?
Yes.
You know, just listening to your body, it's giving you cues. And what everything you just said there, I was like, yes, and amen, because it's simple. It really is simple to say, hey, is what I'm eating right now making me feel like energized or tired or gassy? And you can almost right away eliminate that kind of food for a short amount of time, or make another version of it, right? If you love pizza, just make another version of it with different ingredients. That's my style. It's just, you don't have to cut it out. If you love chocolate chip cookies, make it different. Make it with almond flour or gluten-free flour or coconut flour. Just change it up. You don't have to get rid of it and throw it out and be like, well, I can't eat this anymore. It's just this willingness to say, okay, I'm going to try a different way. But I think you're right when you said comparison is the hugest part of, we see what other people are seeing, or we see ads pop up about bananas and having too many carbs and too many sugars. Well, I don't eat bananas personally because they really do make me bloated. I can have like a quarter of banana and I'm like, sheesh, okay, banana, you know,
but yeah,
a banana might,
that doesn't work for you.
Exactly. And so a banana might not be great for you. But we don't have to cut something out because somebody else cut it out. And I think that's really the biggest message, is just learning to listen to your body. And like, I love that you use it through a biblical lens, of course, and how you said it's right in Genesis of the basic needs of our body. So I'm excited. I think this is just, it's so simple and practical, which is what we're about here. So why don't you tell us where we can just find more of you? You know, you have a podcast, website, Instagram, all the things.
Yeah. So I'm the Christian Nutritionist pretty much everywhere. That's my website. That's where I am on Facebook. That's where I am on Instagram. Yeah, you can find me there. I have a program called Feast to Fast that we do several times a year, where I take my clients through this kind of systematic way of approaching it, and we do it together. So, love for anybody to check it out and connect with you, and let me know if you have any questions.
I'll make sure I have all the links in the show notes below. Especially go check out her Feast to Fast. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yes, Feast to Fast. So thanks, Chelsea, so much for being here. It's such an honor, and I'm just so grateful for all that you shared today.
Thank you, Jessica, for all that you do. I'm so appreciative of it as well. Thanks for having me.